It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Would everyone stand with me? Turn over to page number 125. Page 125, and let's everyone sing together. He keeps me singing. All right, everybody sing now. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet. Everybody look this way. Christmas is over. Hallelujah. Amen. I love Christmas, don't you? I love the season of Christmas. But then there's all the gifts that have all gone away. The tree's now empty. And you look at me like, we got to do better. Amen. My wife this morning said, you know, it's somewhat sad that Christmas is over. But she placed on Facebook this morning, she said, but we still celebrate the gift that continues to keep giving. Amen? And that is the reason we're here this morning. That's the reason that we worship, is because that Christmas never goes away. Amen? So let's sing like we believe it, and He keeps me singing on the last verse. Here we go. Here's the greatest part. Notice the words. Soon He's coming back to welcome. Far beyond the starry sky, I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Seated this morning. Again, it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord today. I know that we still have many who are traveling. We have some who are not feeling the best and unable to be here with us this morning. So we're going to remember them this morning in a word of prayer in just a few moments. But we're going to go back to our regularly scheduled services this morning. And we're very excited to be here. Again, some are traveling. Let's remember them in prayer. But let's go to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service, on the offering. In a few moments, Pastor will come around and say a few words, I'm sure. Let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service and the offering this morning. Father, we love you. And Lord, our hearts do continue to sing this morning, though it would seem that Christmas would now be in the past. Lord, I'm glad to know that we still worship the gift that keeps on giving, and that is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reason that we are here. He is the reason for the season. Lord, thank you for keeping us safe thus far. Pray for those that are still traveling, those that are still with families today. Lord, just enjoying the time together. And Lord, pray a special blessing upon them. Those that are sick and unable to be here with us this morning, Lord, we would pray a special blessing upon them as well. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace. Now be with us today. Give us a great day today in your house. We'll praise you, Lord, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. You can remain seated if you like. If you'll turn over with me to page number 139. Page 139, let's sing at Calvary. Let's sing with me now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not what Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was granted, grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold my liberty and Calvary.
On the last, that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace it brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty hope that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold by liberty.
We want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. And so good to see everybody on this spring-like day. Our wonderful temperature outside. I think the weatherman says it's going to get about 72. So it'll be a good time to grab a rod and reel or go to the park. And right here at Christmas. And so maybe we will, I don't know, it's just some good weather. We appreciate that from the Lord. And so good to see everybody this morning. And it looked like it worked out real well as far as omitting Sunday school and evening service tonight. Seeing that we were right upon Christmas, and just give everybody some time to spend at home with your families as you worship Jesus in your home place. And so we're thankful for that. I got a good crowd this morning. And we're going to jump right into some announcements, and then we're going to have special prayer for Brother David here in just a few moments. He has a hip surgery tomorrow. But Christy and Lily, they're at home today. They're Christy's cold just kind of flared back up, and so we kept Christy and Lily at home this morning. So just be on the safe side. Of course, they're both negative with everything concerning COVID. But she wanted me to send a message concerning the Secret Sisters. It says, we'll leave the Secret Sister boxes up through next Sunday. Please make sure you leave a card in your Secret Sister's Christmas box to reveal who you are. Your Secret Sister would like to thank you for her gifts. And so all this secrecy going on. And it's about to be revealed. And so that's, appreciate that from her relaying the message this morning. So remember that. Also, let's remember this coming up Wednesday. Been doing a lot of thinking and praying about that. And we're going to omit that service this Wednesday, this midweek. So everybody who attends, just put your listening ears on. No service this Wednesday. And I'm not saying that's how it's always going to be at Christmas and New Year's, but for this go-around, it's going to be that way. We just want to give another week for people to get back home from all their traveling, those who might be sick. And what we're going to do is we're going to relaunch on next Sunday morning. That will be our New Year's Day service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, choir practice, all of it. And just take this Wednesday and spend with your families, watch online different churches, and get ready to do business with the Lord for the new year. So remember that. I wanted to get that out there. And as far as prayer request is concerned, let's continue to remember our children's home. And I know we have some here this morning. So good to see you guys. So I want to ask Brother Brian, how did it go, the end result of the tree lot? I know it was fantastic. I watched the news. I seen you on the news. And Brother Kevin as well. That was awesome. We turned everything.
Well, I can just say, a really great story at the end.
Oh. Oh my, wow. That is awesome. Did not expect to hear that. Fantastic. Extraordinary. That's amazing. Absolutely. That calls for a Baptist dance. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that. That's so exciting. Well, let's do continue to remember our children at the home, our house parents, all those in leadership that God would protect and heal and make healthy those who are sick. And just everyone on our prayer list, again, in its entirety, just remember all of our people. And to tell you what we're going to do at this time, I am going to ask Brother David and Miss Glenda if you both would come and just have a seat on one of the pews in the front row. And we're going to have special prayer over him for his hip surgery tomorrow. I understand it's an outpatient surgery, but still it's your hip and it's surgery. And so we want to pray for them. Brother David, as you know, is a go-getter. Hasn't slowed down since he was born in this world, I'm sure. And obviously his body is kind of wearing down here and there. But let's pray that God would protect him and give him a great surgery. I would ask for everybody to come down, but I know that the COVID and all is on the uptick and a lot of sicknesses. But I just wanted them down front, wanted you guys down front, just to let you know we're praying for you. And I kind of take surgeries big. As you know, in church, as you know, if we know someone having a surgery, going through a time of heaviness, we like to pray for them down front. So we're going to do that for you guys. And we love you both. Brother David, we're just praying for God's best in this. Miss Glenda, I know God will keep you calm during the time. But come down front. Just pray a quick prayer. You can pray to yourself out loud, but or just listen as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name today, Lord, and I want to thank you, Lord, for this man of God here and woman of God. Faithful to you they've been, Father. Brother David has always jumped in and lent a hand, Lord, to those in need. Same for Miss Glenda. But Lord, Brother David needs a touch now. He's having surgery in the morning. And Father, we pray that you would guide the hands of the doctors. We pray for the anesthesia, Lord, how that's different for so many people going under and coming out of. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would even be with that there'll be no reaction. Everything, Lord, will be safe. The doctors will be cautious. Lord, that the doctors and the prep team and the post team, Lord, for recovery, Lord, that they all would get plenty of rest tonight, be up early, ready to do what they're called to do. Lord, we're so thankful for doctors and nurses and first responders and those in charge. They are the unsung hero of our day. And so we pray for them that it would be a success. Lord, this isn't the end. Brother David's not breaking down and that's going to be it. But God, you are making him better because he has all kinds of things he wants to do and help with people and build. Father, I just pray for Miss Glenda as she takes him there in the morning as she awaits, God, that you give her peace and strength and assurance that all is well because you're in charge. We love you today, and we're just so thankful for this wonderful couple, what they mean to us and the church. We praise you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, my brother. Love you, Miss Glenda.
Thank you.
You got one. It is that emotion.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Now many times old Satan's whispered, there is no to try, for there's no end of sorrow, and there's no hope by and by. Oh, but I know that thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise till the storms never darken the sky. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe till the storm. Lord, keep me safe till the storm passes by. I've asked Brother David, if he will, to play a song for us this morning as well. We're very blessed to have the musicians that we have here at Calvary, and I'm very thankful to have an opportunity every chance we get to let the Lord use them in their talents. God bless you.
Before we do, let me pass on another announcement to you. Next Sunday night, first week of January, Kevin is leaving for Arkansas to go to Bible college. We hope he's fully vaccinated and hold up on his rabies shot and just jump on back to that barren land out there that needs Jesus more than probably. But next Sunday night, do a reception for him.
Appreciate the Lord this morning. He has been faithful. As Paul told Timothy, though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. And appreciate that, Brother David. Brother Allen for the music this morning. And appreciate you being here. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn for a few moments to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse number 2. I'm only using this verse as a launching pad for the message. And we're going to move on to other verses. But Hebrews chapter number 12. We've been preaching about Jesus off and on the whole month of December. And last Sunday night, we talked about practical lessons from the wise men's story. Last Sunday morning, we preached on the greatest gift ever given out of John 3:16. And we're going to conclude this month of December in our Sunday meeting this morning, preaching on Jesus again. And I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to look at verse 2 out of Hebrews 12. Father, we love you. We thank you. God, you are all those things that are mentioned and more. Lord, we adore you this morning. And we just ask that you would be with us as we attempt to bring the message we feel you put upon our heart, Lord. I pray that you would use it for your honor and your glory. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to do my best this morning to try to encourage us. That's the goal, is encouragement. And there's a lot of people that are sick, not feeling well. There's financial hardship for many. Job changes for others. School problems and family matters. That's a whole lot going on, as it is each and every day that we live. But particularly this morning, as we're coming out of the Christmas season, I know that a lot of people had to arrange their family plans and Christmas events because of sickness. Again, financial hardship for some, job changes for others, just problems, difficulty. And we know that when there is great difficulty, comes a lot of emotional ups and downs. One minute, your head is clear and your heart is calm. The next minute, you're battling fear and dread. And so this is reality, isn't it? Life is a roller coaster, even at Christmas. As I said, I want to try to encourage us this morning with some truths from God's Word. And one of the truths from God's Word I want to share is this simple phrase: Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still on the throne. This verse in Hebrews tells us, again, the verse says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's still on the throne this morning. There are people, I don't know what the numbers are, but the COVID numbers are on the uptick. We know people. We have family that are experiencing COVID this morning and who are sick and all of those things that follow that, but he's still on the throne. There's some this morning who are experiencing job changes. Some have lost their jobs and some have to go back to work in January. Think about that. For a person who's been working at home, a business type job, and who's been out working at home, been out of the workplace for a year and a half now, think about how difficult it is for them to return back to work. Life has changed for so many, but in spite of the job changes, he's still on the throne. And all of the emotions that go along with a job change, he's still on the throne. And again, there's school problems and there's family matters and there's people at odds against one another, even around the holidays. But even saying that, Jesus is still on the throne. That's how I have to settle my calls and my case every day. Not that I'm some spiritual giant. I feel like a spiritual ant sometimes. But at the end of the day, we do have to settle this. And at the beginning of every day, we have to settle it. Is God in control or isn't he? And this morning, Scripture says, not my words, but God's words, the Bible says that Jesus is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You may ask this morning, well, how is that so encouraging? Why is that encouraging? Well, as with kings and kingdoms, the one who sits on the throne is in control. All through the Bible, we read and we know about kings and kingdoms, those who have judged in the book of Judges. And all through Scripture, you'll find that the person who's sitting in that seat is in control. Jesus is in that seat. He is in control. But let me mention some other things as to why this is an encouraging truth, that he's on the throne. It's encouraging that Jesus is on the throne because that's where the Father's at. Turn over to Mark chapter number 16, if you would, for a moment. We're going to do some Bible drill here for the next few moments, but we'll park it in a little while. Mark chapter number 16, in verse 19, listen to this. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. We see that Father God is here on the throne. Jesus is on the throne. He is at the Father's right hand. You say, why is that so important? How is that so encouraging? Well, when you begin to think about God, I begin to think about Creator God. How that he took 6 days and made everything. And on the seventh day, he rested. And so we have Creator God sitting with the Son of God on the throne. And that's encouraging to me because that's where the Father's at, this our Creator. And so sometimes in life when things are difficult, and sometimes in life when I may not feel in body that I have the power to push through, I just remember who created me. Creator God did. The one who spoke this world into existence. This one who created everything in 6 days and on the seventh day rested. If he created all of this, I know in my moments then I can reflect back on Creator God being at the throne. And so it's encouraging to know that Jesus is on the throne because that's where the Father's at. There's a second reason why that's encouraging, that Jesus is on the throne because that's where the mediator's at. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy 2. Jesus is mediator. Jesus is on the throne. Look at 1 Timothy 2, verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Look at that word mediator. The word mediator, it means reconciler. It also means a go-between. It means a middleman. It's someone who stands in the gap to reconcile both parties. This morning we know that Jesus is on the throne, and that's encouraging because he's our mediator. He is constantly mediating for us. As it were, in a courtroom, we have the judge on the stand. And then there's the criminals, which are us. But then we have a lawyer. And the lawyer stands between the judge and us, and he mediates. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 1 calls him our advocate. In verse number 2, the Bible says he is the propitiation for our sins. And so we're in a courtroom, and we have the judge, and we have the mediator, the advocate, and there we are. And so he's pleading the case of the one he's representing, telling the judge why he's innocent, telling the judge that there is nothing to lay charge upon the person that's being blamed, the criminal. In like manner this morning, that's the way things are with us. Those of us that know Jesus as our personal Savior, he is our mediator. You leave here today and you know you're a child of God, but you blow things tonight. You have a mediator that is telling the judge, Father God, that you're innocent. You do great tonight, you blow it tomorrow. You have a continual advocate on your behalf pleading your case. And I don't know about you or not, but me personally, I get excited. I have a sense of peace that comes over me because I'm not a perfect man. And to know that I have one on the throne that's mediating for me. When I'm good, great. When I'm bad, great. It's great either way because I have one saying, Father, he's innocent. Father, he is not guilty. Father, he is righteous. Father, he's covered in the blood. Father, there's no case. It's all been washed away. We can rejoice this morning and find great encouragement in the fact that Jesus is on the throne. And he is mediating on the throne. What a blessing that is to know that we have a live, active representative that's always on the job. So, it's encouraging that Jesus is on the throne because that's where the mediator is at. But it's also encouraging that he's on the throne because that's where the mercy's at. Hebrews chapter number 4. Look at verse 15. Hebrews 4 in verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, because of that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Now that word boldly here, let us therefore come boldly, it means with bluntness. It means with confidence or assurance. And so the writer here is telling us that Jesus is on the throne and that we can come with confidence and great assurance that we will find mercy in time of need. Do you need mercy this morning for sins committed? Go to the throne. You need mercy this morning because of how relentless life is and how cruel and unkind the world is. Go to the throne. If you're carrying a heavy load and you're weighted down by that, go to the throne. and He will grant mercy. And do so with confidence and great bluntness and assurance that He hears you because we're connected through the mediator. Not only in this throne, there is mercy, but there's in this throne room, there is, and because Jesus is on the throne, there is grace to be found. Again, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Someone said one time, Brother Justin, what is the difference between mercy and grace? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. We deserve hell. We do not deserve blessings. We deserve all of those things because we're deprived, human beings depraved. And so there's mercy for us, not getting what we deserve. And grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve stamina and energy to continue on. We don't deserve any good gift that comes from God. We don't deserve the ability to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We don't deserve that, yet because there's one on the throne, He grants mercy and He grants grace. I thank God this morning that He's on the throne. Again, these are just some encouraging things in my introduction as to why we're talking about what we're talking about. The Father is on the throne. The mediator is on the throne. There's mercy and grace in the throne room. But there's something else as to why it's encouraging that Jesus is on the throne. It's encouraging that He's still on the throne because one day that's where the saved will be at. Turn to Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. In Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 1, most believe this is John talking about the rapture. Chapters 1 through 3, we know it's the church age, and we read about the seven churches of Asia Minor. But in chapter 4 and verse number 1, John says this, after this, after the mentioning of all the churches, the church age, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Look at verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Most believe that these 24 elders sitting in these seats, clothed in white raiment, represents the church. Those who have been blood-bought, born again. And so we are seated round the throne, clothed in white raiment, crowns on our head. The Bible says in chapter number 5, in verse number 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. But in verse number 10 of chapter 4, the Bible says, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are. and were created. It's encouraging this morning to think about this throne that Jesus is on, because one day, someday, after a while, we will be round about that throne. We'll be able to do some crown casting at the feet of Jesus, casting crowns. And then we will worship Him. Verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And so it's encouraging to know that Jesus is on the throne, because one day that's where we will be at. Talking about the throne this morning and the significance of this throne and all of the hardships and times of difficulty we're going through and going under, all of the emotional roller coasters up and down, it is so encouraging to me, at least, to know that Jesus is on the throne. He's the one that is in charge. That's where the Father's at. He is mediating. Grace and mercy's there. One day we'll be there, round about that throne. There's a song. Last time I heard this song, New Life Baptist Church with Brother Vernon Palmer, and he knows this is my favorite song that their choir sings. Listen to this. I believe Kyla Rowland wrote this song. I may be wrong. I believe she did. It's called He's Still on the Throne. Listen to this line. It says, or Satan has power, and sometimes I'm weak. At times I give up, and he walks over me. Then someone comes by with words loud and clear, or when someone comes by with words loud, and strong, arise, my child, it is I'm still on the throne. Let me repeat that. I didn't say it the way I wanted to. He's still on the throne, or Satan has power, and sometimes I'm weak. At times I give up, and he walks over me. Then someone comes along with words loud and strong, arise, my child, it is I'm still on the throne. He is in charge this morning. If we could ever grasp that, or at least if we grasp it and then we struggle with it, start trying to grasp it again and again and wrestle and grasp it again. Jesus is on the throne. I want to share with you three positions of Jesus and His throne. Three positions that I find in Scripture in relation to Him and His throne. We pretty much summed up the first one, but number one, we see Jesus sitting. Again, Hebrews 2, our main verse, Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says he is set down. Back in Mark chapter number 16, we read it a moment ago. We'll share it with you again. Mark 16, verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Ephesians chapter number 1. Listen to this. Ephesians 1 and verse number 20 says this. Did I mark that right? Well, somewhere in there. He says in verse number 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him, there it is, at his own right hand in the heavenly places. We see Jesus sitting. He completed salvation's plan, and he is sitting by the right hand of the Father on the throne. There's times when I'm sitting and I hang up the phone and it was a bad call. Bad news, some new challenge. And what happens is immediately I get up and I just Even sometimes, I depending on the gravity of the call, I'll just get up. I'll pace. Is anybody else in here pace? Man, I pace. I'm walking around. I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I was sitting and the phone rang. Hey, how you doing? How's so? Oh, okay. I understand. Talk to you later. Man, I can't believe that happened. I just can't believe that happened. And I pace and I pray and I try to figure it out. Christy's grandfather, when he was here, he's in heaven now, but he had his recliner in a certain place in his living room at his house. Every time we would walk in, he would be in that recliner. Cool, calm, and collected. But if something happened, he would get up out of that recliner. It would be a slow get up too. I mean, he'll be sitting there relaxed. If something happened, he'll give that look. And I mean, he would take about 5 minutes getting up and stretch himself out, start walking through that house. And you knew he was on a mission. Something bothered him to get him out of that recliner. Stuff bothers me and I get up. Stuff bothers you and I know you get up. But with everything going on in our world, Jesus still sits. He has not gotten up. So what does that mean that Jesus is still sitting? Why is that important? Number one, it's important and it's encouraging that he's still sitting because that means he's in control of it all. He ain't got up yet. He's in control of it all. He's still sitting this morning in the midst of all of the situations I mentioned because he's not worried. He's still sitting. And whenever we worry ourselves to sleep and we finally doze off, he's still awake sitting, singing over us and watching over us. Listen, we may get up when things go wrong and pace the floors, but Jesus still sits. You remember the story in the book of Mark, chapter number 4, verse 35 through 41? We know that the disciples got to a ship. Jesus said, "Let us pass over to the other side." God's perfect will. They were going to the other side. The maniac man of Gadara was there. Jesus was going to touch him, and he was going to be saved. But in the midst of their shipping, there was a problem. The Bible talks about there arose a great storm of wind. And it's in my estimation and from my studying that just simply means there was a windstorm out of nowhere. There arose a great storm of wind and it troubled the waters. The disciples were afraid. How many times in life do we encounter windstorms? When things, they come suddenly and they hit us and they pound on us and our ship begins to get full of life's troubled waters and we begin to sink. The Bible says that Jesus was asleep in the ship, in the hinder part, on a pillow. Why was he asleep? Why wasn't he up and rebuking the wind? Because he was in control. You remember before they even got in the ship, he said, "Let us pass over to the other side." And if Jesus says, "We're going to pass over to the other side," doesn't matter what happens in between, he's in control. It's his purpose, it's his will, and it was there for them to pass over to the other side, regardless of the great windstorm that came in. Some of you have got windstorms in your life, whether it's a physical problem, financial problem, family problem, a rebellious child or unfaithful spouse. I don't know the situation, but it is a windstorm. And it beats against the boat with the waters of life. And sometimes we feel like we're going under and we're going to drown. But church, Jesus has told us that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Well, in so many words he said that. I know there's a song that says that. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me, the heavens open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I know Billy Kelly, the old preacher, used to sing that. And it's all in Scripture that the moment He saves us, we're on this journey into our Canaan one day. But in the in-between, there's this exodus. The in-between, there's these storms and troubled times we experience. But the thing about it this morning, I want you to catch, He's still on the throne. He's still sitting. He's still in control. He was in control in the boat. He's in control on the throne this morning. We see Jesus in the sitting position. And we haven't been raptured out of here, so He's still sitting. Whatever your problem is, whatever your prayer is, when you pray, just think about Jesus still sitting on the throne. And whatever the problem is, whatever the situation may be, you have grace to help in time of need, mercy to claim. He is there being your mediator. Jesus sitting. There's a second thing I want to mention, another position of Jesus. We see Jesus standing. Acts chapter number 7 for a moment. Acts 7. Stephen, the first deacon. Stephen, the first martyr. We have here in Acts 6 and 7 that Stephen was chosen. And then we see that Stephen begins to testify from Abraham to Jesus that He is the Messiah. He starts him off at the very beginning. And we know that there was great conflict. We know that those religious sect of the day did not receive that. They rejected that. And they actually, in chapter 6, in verse number 13, the Bible says, and set up false witnesses. And so they were closing in on Stephen and the words he was saying. The words that Stephen was saying, it actually, it smit them in their hearts. It cut them to the heart. Chapter 7, verse 54 says, but verse number 55, listen to this of chapter 7. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So we have Stephen, the first deacon. We have Stephen's message. And then we have Stephen stoned. And in chapter 8, we have Stephen's funeral. But I think it's amazing that when Stephen was getting ready to make the crossing, he seen Jesus standing from his throne. You say, Brother Justin, what does all that mean? Why was he standing? I can't tell you specifically what it means. I can only tell you what I think it means. I believe that Jesus was welcoming Stephen into heaven. I believe there is a type of welcoming committee, so to speak. And maybe Jesus had part of that and he stood and was welcoming Stephen into heaven. He stood from the throne. Other commentators said that it was Jesus standing, giving him a standing ovation. That it was because of Stephen's faithfulness to the finish and being the first martyr that Jesus stood to welcome him in heaven. I don't know all about that. I tend to think that Jesus was standing to welcome him into heaven. You can go with your thought on that. And so this could be a standing ovation, Stephen's faithfulness. Not really sure. And I'm also not sure if God stands for everybody. Those are just my thoughts. If he stands for everybody when we make our crossing, that's a very wonderful thing. But if it's a standing ovation because of the type of life Stephen lived and the devotion that he gave, if it was a standing ovation for that, I wonder if God, if he'll give standing ovations based upon our performance. I don't know. I know there will be a judgment for the Christian, not for his sins, but for reward or loss of reward. But I think it's interesting this morning that the Jesus who completed the Father's plan went to heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and now he's standing. All of the world events going on in that day, he didn't stand. All of the trouble and wickedness and evilness, he didn't stand. In our day, he is sitting. He is seated. All the wickedness and all the corruption and all the struggles, he is still sitting. But we know one day he's going to stand. And he's going to come back for you and me. Nonetheless, Jesus is here standing. So we see that second position. Jesus standing. I want to mention one more. And that is Jesus seizing. Jesus seizing. 1 Thessalonians, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Jesus seizing. Verse number 13, Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend," which means he's off the throne, "from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We have Jesus seizing. In verse 17, there's the words "caught up." And those words "caught up" means to seize or snatch away. And so if he's going to seize us, snatch us away, then he's going to get up. Because the Bible says, verse 16, "for the Lord himself." Now, the Greek word and the words "caught up" means harpazo, which is where we get our word harpoon. And we know what a harpoon is. It's something that's shot out, and it attaches itself to something and it brings it in. Harpoon. Harpazo. To see. Snatch away. Jesus will seize us one day. I heard a story that Joe Arthur said one time about a young person who had a science project. And it was a small child, and And so what he had to do was he had to test the currents of magnets. And so he, in his project on the table, he had pieces of wood, small little slivers of wood laying spread out on the table. And then mixed in with the little slivers of wood, he had metal paper clips. And they were all mixed together. And so what he had to do was he had to hold a magnet over that to test the currency of the magnetic pull. And as the story was told, he held that magnet, I don't know how far, maybe 5-6 inches, maybe more, over the slivers of wood and the metal paper clips. And when he did, those paper clips started to move. And they started going up. And the little slivers of wood were left behind, but the paper clips attached itself to that force that was bringing it up. One day, Jesus will get up from his throne. And when he does, we, those of us that are saved, those of us that are metal paper clips, you don't think I can go that fast? You watch and see. Huh? I mean, listen, it is going to be the best event yet when Jesus gets up and calls us home. Jesus seizing. They want to come this morning. We'll give a verse of invitation. Just a simple sermon. In the midst of the holidays, in the midst of, I don't know, things that may be going wrong in your life, maybe everything is going good, it's just a lot of changes. Those may have financial struggles, marital problems. If you haven't heard anything I said this morning, hear this. He's still on the throne. And when he gets ready and he's seen enough, he'll get up and he'll come get us. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time of invitation. If somebody needs to come and pray, let them do so. Most of all, just let us be encouraged by the time we leave that we know you're in charge. And when enough's enough, you'll come back for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand all through the house and give a verse of invitation. Facebook Live, this is your opportunity as well.